Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the new line of Christian feminine hygiene products, Pentadouche. Remember, when you have that not-so-fresh feeling, it's because you're unclean in the eyes of God. So when you're being shunned for 7 days, as is the minimum prescribed amount in all of the Abrahamic faiths, be sure to use our Adam and Summer's Eve brand, Pentadouche, because women are cursed and responsible for the fall of man. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
This piece is called Eggs Benedict.
From far away, it looks like a contemporary portrait of Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI, but it's the medium that sends the message.
This piece is made out of 17,000 non-lubricated condoms.
I'm Tom Beasley from an American Atheist podcast, and we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey men.
No chance you could throw that down in Latin, is there?
My Latin's pretty rusty.
Yeah, not a problem, man, not a problem.
Thursday, it's April 18th, and due to an increase in promiscuity, Allah has cut it back to 54 virgins per jihadi. I'm your host, No Illusions, and from scandalous New York, New York, this is The Scathing Atheist. On this week's episode, Pope Frankie names a group of 8 mini-bosses you'll have to defeat before entering his lair. Carl from Post-Rapture Looting joins me for some atheist Easter egg hunting, where we look for eggs that we know aren't there. And Representative Joe Barton moves to tackle global warming by first gathering 2 of every unclean species and 7 of every clean one. But first, the diatribe.
Have trouble accepting that we really don't believe in God. They like to think that deep down we're just suppressing our faith, but when we find ourselves in a really tough situation, we'll revert to our programming, we'll drop to our knees, and we'll start praying. After all, when they look at the world, they see God, so how could we look at the same world and not see Him at all? Similarly, a lot of atheists have trouble accepting that theists really do believe in God. We like to think that deep down they know good and damn well that it's all a myth propagated by power-hungry shamans, and that when the shit hits the fan, they'll abandon their superstitions and turn to a secular solution. After all, when we look at the world, we don't see a god, so how could they possibly look at the same world and see one? Now, clearly part of this is just a lack of intellectual empathy. They think we've got a god-shaped hole in our hearts, we think they've got a reason-shaped hole in their heads. It's a defense mechanism, kind of like the one where we demonize the opposite side of the political spectrum. It's harder to accept that they've looked at the evidence and come to a contrary conclusion than it is to create a caricature of their opinion and pretend that they're all heartless or stupid or whatever. And I suppose a lot of people would like me to just leave it there. I said something bad about one side, I said something bad about the other side, now can't we all just get along? But I think it's too neat and tidy to write it all off as a self-delusion. After all, when I start listening to somebody tell me that they believe that God's in heaven and Jesus loves them and Grandma and Sparky are waiting at the pearly gates for them, I don't wonder how they believe it. I wonder why they're not in a bigger hurry to die. If I ask them, of course, they'll tell me God has a plan for them here on Earth and they'd miss their kids or their grandkids or their friends or whatever. But if you balance the time we spend here on Earth with the eternity they expect to spend in heaven, it's an insignificant blink of an eye. 10 billion years from now, your grandkids aren't going to remember that you weren't on Earth when they were learning to poop. And why isn't everybody more eager for their loved ones to die? It seems to me that once Mom has arthritis or even a persistent headache, she'd be better off in heaven where she doesn't have to suffer anymore. How selfish is it for me to hope she lingers on in minor pain for decades just so I can have her around to babysit the kids? Look, I've watched friends grieve the loss of a loved one, both theists and atheists, and I can tell you from a statistically insignificant unblinded anecdote that one doesn't seem to have any easier a time with it than the other. Somehow the person who professed to believe that their loved one is in a mansion with a golden driveway and paradise is every bit as bereaved as the person who believes that their loved one is just gone. How could this possibly be? When I say that I don't think theists believe their own bullshit, it's not something I'm basing on my own psychology, it's something I'm basing on their behavior. If you honestly believed all the way down to your core that you're going to go meet the people that you lose in a perfect world in the clouds after you die, how could you possibly mourn their passing? How could a funeral be anything but a joyous occasion? The religious dingbats of the world like to express their disbelief in atheists with one of the most pervasive and insulting clichés ever coined to smear rationalists. They like to say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. The idea is that even we heathens will turn to God if things get bad enough. Included, of course, is the unspoken assumption that when we experience this instantaneous conversion, it'll be their God we start praying to. You know, it never seems to occur to them that if that's how it worked, all the Christians in the foxhole would start praying to Allah, Shiva, and Odin just to be on the safe side. But I'd like to submit the opposite. When you're in the proverbial foxhole, myths and superstitions are cold comfort. When the bombs are raining down, nobody's saying, shit, man, I sure hope that one hits us. And if they were, we'd rightly assume they'd lost their fucking minds. I submit that when we're facing the uncertainty of our own deaths, we are all atheists by default. Contrary to the adage, when it comes down to it, there are no theists in a foxhole. Minor Sin number 438.
Check out the polycotton blend on that slute.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is my chemo-sabi, Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to lone range?
I am ready to lone range and lone domain. Let's do it.
In our lead story tonight, California legislators are subtly suggesting that perhaps the Boy Scouts of America should stop being bigots. A proposed law that would strip the Boy Scouts of their tax-exempt status, along with any other nonprofit that excludes members based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or religious affiliation. There's been a real outcry surrounding this proposal, and strangely enough, it's not because it wasn't done decades ago. I mean, how common sense is this shit?
Well, I'd like to read a quote from ChristianNewsWire.com.
Oh, that should be good.
As weird as it sounds, I'd like to read a quote from them. Quote, should SB 323 become law, it would break new ground in using the tax system to punish those who are disliked by LGBT activists.
Is that what it is? It's somebody who they disliked and that's why they're doing it?
Yeah. Those who are disliked by LGBT activists are called bigots. So the tax system punishes bigots. Is that unreasonable?
And it's more about the people that don't like the LGBT. I mean, I'm sure like they probably don't like the delivery guy that showed up late with the Chinese food. This doesn't tax that guy.
Well, I'd like a tax system that punishes all sorts of shitty people. That's actually the whole point of certain taxes, to discourage things with negative externalities like the actions and opinions of the ignorant, shitty people.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine why religious groups, though, would be threatened by a law that strips tax exemptions from groups that institutionalize discrimination, right? While most of the major media coverage is focused on the gay stuff, obviously, this law would also force the Boy Scouts or any other group seeking tax exemption in California to allow the dreaded atheists to walk amongst them as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, much like a black person disrupts the front of a bus, an atheist clearly disrupts a lesson in the tying of a bowline knot, so you can see how that'd be a problem for the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
The fuck is their problem? The bill is basically saying you can still be an asshole, and you can still have your asshole club. The government it just happens to offer extra credit on the test for clubs that are not assholes, so you assholes don't get those particular bonus points. We're bending over backwards to be tolerant of assholes at this point. We're just taking away the asshole subsidy they've been getting. And we'll give it right back if they stop being assholes. It's really simple.
Yeah. I think that pretty much says all there is to be said on that. Now, from the, should we call it the Reform Council or the Council on Reform Department, the Pope has assigned 8 cardinals to advise him on thinking about reform. While major media headlines like Pope Makes First Big Decision Naming Advisory Board and Pope Makes Tough Decisions as Reform Looms would suggest that he'd actually done something, the real meat of this story is downright vegan. All right, so here it is. Pope Frankfurter has commissioned an advisory panel to look into overhauling the Vatican bureaucracy. Vatican officials point out that it's been a quarter century since the bureaucracy was updated, somehow missing the irony that it's been 2 millennia since any damn thing else about their organization was updated.
Yeah, their literature could use a few retractions. I heard the advisory panel has a small delegation that is actually scouring the woods to confirm or disconfirm the presence of bear shit. Maybe the panel can also, look into whether there will ever be some way to create perhaps individual cross-sections that divide up an entire loaf of bread into convenient pieces. Check on this type of thing.
Yeah, but of course, the collective media cock guzzle around Pope Frankenbeans continues. Everything he does from washing feet to wiping lefty is dutifully reported as proof that he's a real reformer and things are going to be different under his watch. He's not like that old creepy pedophile protecting Palpatine lookalike. He's a new creepy pedophile protecting droopy dog lookalike.
He actually reminds me of Elmer Fudd, but with like a sillier hat.
Right.
Doing the Kill the Wabbit song, Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries.
Kill the Wabbit, kill the Wabbit.
Yeah,
I can see him doing that one.
Side note, I'm thoroughly impressed by the lefty wiping. I tried to jerk it lefty one time. I suffered an elbow injury and an eye injury.
Right. Well, moving. Yeah, sorry about the elbow. And in earth-shattering international news, women are wearing man clothes at the Western Wall. This news comes to us from the 1300s via modern-day Jerusalem. Several female activists were arrested at the holy site last Thursday for wearing man shawls and praying out loud.
I don't think the man shawls help the sexual roles platform they're going for, and they definitely muddle the homophobia stance a little bit, too.
Yeah, men don't wear shawls. And as much as my liberal heart wants to stand behind these women involved in the protest, my rational mind is also saying, you guys are trying to pray to an imaginary being whose very existence was largely manufactured to oppress your gender. So it's hard for me to really rally behind him. Sure, I don't want him to be arrested, but if you want to advance women in these silly cultures, leave all the talking to walls to the men and try, you know, reading or something. Just a suggestion.
Why the hell did they want to go there in the first place? They must have got Tom Sawyer'd or something. Don't even think about wearing that man shawl and whitewashing this prayer wall with me. No, you cannot.
And in No When to Fold 'em news, a New York nun has admitted stealing more than $850,000 to cover her gambling expenses. She now faces 6 months in prison, which, for the record, I would do in a heartbeat for $128,000. I mean, seriously? 6 months is all she's getting? Now, before you go thinking the sentencing was light because she was a 68-year-old nun, I should mention that her attorney says that she's really, really sorry, and if we were more like Jesus, we could just forgive her and not be so worried about the past.
I guess you gotta support the habit somehow.
Thank you. Oh, and a quote from Vinnie Knuckles Malone, a source close to the case, said, "That bitch is just lucky she still has all her fingers, none or not. I'll fuck that whore up."
All right. Well, the Knuckles brand of justice sounds surprisingly well-informed on the First Amendment, actually.
Yeah, separation of fingers in church. And earning the honor of the stupidest politician in the national spotlight this week is Texas Republican... I just want to point out that those two words very often precede the naming of the stupidest politician in the national spotlight on any given week. Texas Republican.
Absolutely. Texas Republicans making political decisions. It's like the youngest brother in a big family getting to choose what everybody has for dinner on their birthday. You know, you end up having to appease them once in a while, so you try to take them really seriously that one day. And then they're like, deep fried chocolate bologna hot pockets. Ridiculous.
Dude, I might have to cut that because we're gonna totally patent that brand before we put this episode to air. Anyway, Texas Republican Joe Barton was trying to justify a bill to force Obama's hand on the Keystone Pipeline, and atheists, I'm sure, have differing opinions on the issue of this controversial energy product, but I think we can all agree that it takes a Class A jackass to use the issue to write off climate change on the grounds of God's predilection for flooding the whole world.
Well, the gradual melting of polar ice caps would be the lamest great flood ever, just for the record. Not exactly an awe-inspiring demonstration of omnipotence, you know?
You guys just wait.
Does the water look a couple inches higher today? That's it. I'm devoting my life to Jesus. This is scaring me. This is scaring me.
I'm gathering two of something. That's all I'm saying. So now if I quoted this jackass directly, I'd probably get accused of making it sound stupider than it actually was. So I grabbed the sound clip. Here it is in all its glorious fucktardery.
People like me that support hydrocarbon development don't deny that the climate is changing. I think you could have an honest difference opinion on what's causing that change. I would point out that if you're a believer in the Bible, one would have to say the Great Flood is an example of climate change. And that certainly wasn't because mankind had overdeveloped hydrocarbon energy.
And finally tonight, the intrepid radio host and fundamentalist activist Brian Fisher has uncovered our secret homo-fascist plot to make Christians wear Christian badges like ghetto Jews in Nazi Germany.
We ended up going ahead with that plot? I was thinking thorny crowns, though. The sleeve patches are a little too subtle. And didn't Fisher seem strangely preoccupied with that, with the specific design of the Christian ghetto patch?
Right, he's like, I can't imagine what symbol they might use.
I'll get back to you guys with what I think it should be. Well, if they were to do that, what I would make the symbol. He seemed particularly interested in that.
You know, this is amazing to me because our nefarious strategy had managed to stay so well hidden over the years that not even the key players instrumental in its implementation knew about it. But despite this nearly preternatural level of secrecy, Fisher's mind was able to twist through the various corridors of our labyrinth and figure out our plans even before we did. And he did so amongst the following random assemblage of gibberish.
Remember when the Jews in Nazi Germany, they had to wear a yellow Star of David on their sleeve? I mean, we're getting to the point now where that's what they're going to make us do. I don't know what the symbol would be. I have to think about that. We're getting to the point where these homo fascists are going to force us to wear on our sleeve some kind of identifying marker so people will know who the racists and the homophobes and the bigots are and can stay away from them.
Well, of course, you never want to hear about a Holocaust. Of course. But if another one had to happen, I mean, had to happen, I'd say Christians are the logical victims. I mean, well, hold on. What am I talking about? Muslims, obviously. What? It's a fucking roast. It's a fucking roast.
It's not actually, but that's good. I'd say the most surprising thing, honestly, that I found out when I was researching this story is that Spellcheck has no issues at all with the word homo fascist. I encourage the listeners to check that out. Type that in and find out. Homo fascist apparently is a word in the minds of Microsoft.
Keep that in mind for my next Scrabble game.
My best friend's
Jewish, no big deal.
That'll do it for headlines. When we come back, Carl from the Post Rapture Looting Podcast will join us to discuss all the fun he had over Easter weekend. All right, normally I save emails for the end of the show, but I got one the other day from a celebrity, and it got me really excited. I'm not sure if you would want me to use his name, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm stoked, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. It was from God. Now, I know what you're thinking. Anybody could send an email and say they were God, but the way I figure it, I have exactly as much evidence that this email was written by God as Christians have that the Bible was, so I'm rolling. Hell, I have more. It was signed. So I'm rolling with it. Anyway, it's pretty cool. I thought I'd share it with you real quick. It goes like this. Dear Noah, this email is intended as official notice that you have been damned. This action was taken against you by me, the Lord Almighty, on April 13th in the year of our me, 2013, for trespasses including, but not limited to, taking my name in vain while suggesting that I, Father of Abraham, Granter of Life, Alpha and Omega, am physically comprised of fecal pornography, making it sound on your show like Jesus is bad at finding keys when in fact he is damn good at it, and making a blasphemous exclamation while masturbating on the Sabbath to impure thoughts about your neighbor's wife in mixed garments. As a consequence of your damning, the standing invitation of your immortal soul to return to heaven upon its earthly passing has been revoked. Alternate accommodations will be provided. In addition, your prayers will be ignored separately from those of believers, and you will not be permitted to use a crucifix to ward off vampires. Additionally, Jesus says from now on you can find your own fucking keys. If you feel that you've been damned in error, please respond within 30 days with an explanation of any extenuating or mitigating circumstances, along with heaps of sanctimonious praise and obsequious adulation. Failure to remit in the time frame outlined above will result in your damnation being converted to eternal status. Praise and adulation will be judged at the discretion of the damning party and may or may not be deemed sufficient for salvation. May God have mercy on your soul. Oh, wait, too late for that, bitch. Jehovah. So, I thought that was pretty cool. Thought I'd share. Anyway, back to the show. It's time for the Atheist Calendar portion of the show. Normally we try to keep things lighthearted and funny on this show, but sometimes there's just nothing funny about what we're doing, and once in a while we need to step back and recognize that. That's why I'm dedicating this week's calendar to the atheist bloggers and activists in Bangladesh that are risking their lives to do exactly what I'm doing here. Freedom of speech is something that I blithely accept as my birthright as an American, but not everyone is as fortunate. Now, I can't possibly cover all the details of the story in such a short format, but I strongly encourage you to learn more about it. We'll have links all over the show notes, and if you follow us on Twitter, we'll keep you abreast of the story there as well. The short version is that a well-organized group of Islamic militants are trying to use their bully pulpit to divert attention away from their own wrongdoing, and a group of atheist bloggers have become their unwitting scapegoat. Two bloggers have already been killed, and Islamic leaders are calling for the execution of 84 more named atheist activists. In response, atheist and humanist organizations all over the world have declared April 25th a day of action to stand with our fellow non-believers, and you can make a difference here. You can write a blog, you can send a letter, you can join one of the many protests that's being organized around the country to draw attention to this. If nothing else, take to social media, let people know what's happening. Let everyone know what's happening. Regardless of our beliefs, we can all agree that no one should die for theirs. I urge you to check out the links at scathingatheist.com, learn more, and get involved. And now back to the fart jokes and stuff. All right, I'm here with Carl from the Post-Rapture Looting Podcast. Carl, welcome to The Scathing Atheist.
Hello, thank you. Happy to be on.
Excellent, man. Now, the reason I invited you on today, other than your pithy witticisms and biting insight, of course, is that you recently returned from the American Atheist 50th Annual Convention. How was that?
That was a good time. That was my first convention, really, of any sort, so it was a lot to take in.
Right on. So what convinced you to go this year?
You know, we were talking to Blair Scott, actually, on our podcast, and he said it was going to be a great time. So we were like, fuck it, let's go, because, you know, we have an atheist podcast, but what have I personally really done other than throw $20 here or, you know, $50 there for the cause?
Right on, right on. So drop some names. What influential luminaries did you get to rub elbows with?
Oh, wow. So I was bragging about it on our podcast. I'm trying to remember now. So Matt Dillahunty, Blair Scott, Dave Silverman, a whole bunch of people. I got to meet Seth Andrews from the Thinking Atheist podcast. And, you know, a lot of people were there.
So, of course, I got to ask you, everybody's wondering, how was the baby buffet?
You know, it was good. The problem is that, you know, when you give Christians baby recipes, mm-hmm. they don't really follow it. They're kind of grossed out or whatever. And that's a little frustrating. I wish they would, you know, stop religiously persecuting us and just follow the fucking baby recipes that we give them, you know. But no, other than that, it was good. You know, barbecue. It was Austin, Texas. So we, of course, barbecue style and, you know.
Yeah, they know how to barbecue out there.
Oh, yeah.
On a slightly more serious note, would you say coming away from it, do you think you got your money's worth?
I would think so, but if I may also volunteer, I don't know if I'm going to be going back next year. It was a lot of money with the airfare, the hotel, and you know, the cost of the conference itself. You know, if you're local, and next year it's in Salt Lake City, and if you're local, there's no reason not to go. But if you're going to be doing the hotel and the airplane and everything, you know, that starts to add up.
So now, would you say for somebody who has never been to one of these things before that it's worth the money to go, or are you just saying that you wouldn't go 2 years in a row like that?
Yeah, I think if you've never been before, you absolutely have to go, and it's a really good time, and there's some great people there, really pretty good lineup for speakers. But just for me personally, I don't think I'm going to go next year. I may go, though. The bug may hit me when it gets closer.
Right, right. Yeah, I say that about Nexus every year here in New York. I'm like, maybe I won't go next year. And then we get close to it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, they actually had a hell of a lineup there this year. Was there one speaker that you were most excited about hearing?
I don't know if I would say there was one I was most looking forward to hearing. But the one who I had no idea who it was, and I don't remember her name. I don't have the program anywhere handy. But she gave a presentation on unintelligent design and how you can have a discussion and with a young Earth creationist. And one of their young Earth creationist favorite arguments is that the eyeball is so complex that no creature could ever have come up with that, you know, naturally selected. And she goes to explain what the eyeball is on a very basic level. And it's basically light receptors and a lens. And there's animals out there that have no lens and even less light receptors than we do. And they're thriving, very minimal vision. And then you got on the other side of that scale, you have these animals in the ocean and they have much better eyes.
Yeah, right, right. So if God loved us so much, why did he give us the crappiest eyes? Exactly. Well, I guess not the crappiest, but he sure didn't give us the best ones.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, you know, the typical response is the God of the gaps thing where, you know, he gave us what we need and mm-hmm. we'll find out later and it doesn't matter next to God's glory and all this bullshit. So
right. Once you've memorized a few answers like that, you never have to have an intelligent answer again.
That's absolutely right. You know, and not only that, but then you get to deny people equal rights in this country too.
Yeah, apparently. Now I'm going to put you on the spot with this question here just a little bit. Let's say Dave Silverman calls you and he says, Carl, I'm putting you in charge of next year's convention. What changes are we making?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you something that's not going to change is the whole Easter weekend thing, because what you have is a conference at a hotel where, and think about hotels in your own local community and what's some of the services they offer to the general local population. Well, they offer Sunday brunch.
And, oh, my God.
And so you have your Easter Sunday brunch and all these people had to go walking right through the middle of the American Atheist Convention to get to Sunday brunch on Easter.
They're coming from church. Oh, I love it.
And they're wearing their, you know, this one guy had a bag. It said God hates bags on it. And and there was another one. My personal favorite is Dinosaurs Against Creationism. You know, so there and there was a lot more vulgar things than that that people were wearing.
Mommy, what does fuck Jesus mean? Oh, God, I love it, dude.
Yeah, go Google Jesus fucking Christ and have fun with that. what changes would I make? Wow. I'd make it closer to my own house. That's for sure. Now, think about, you know, I was one of the, I wanted to kind of geek out on meeting Dave Silverman, and I did get to meet him, and he was a great guy, but there was they had a bunch of really cool, interesting people who were there, but in some ways they were kind of off limits. Like, they were, some of them were hanging out mingling, you know, like Matt Dillahunty and Seth Andrews and these guys, they were hanging out and mingling with us common atheist folk. But some of the bigger names, they kind of, I don't know if they were necessarily available. It would have been nice to see an opportunity to get to hang out with the speakers more, you know?
Well, you know, I felt that exact way coming away from Nexus as well, that I would have really liked a little more opportunity to mingle with the speakers. So, yeah, we'll talk to Dave. We'll get on that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Dave totally listens to everything I have to say and usually discounts it all because he's smart. But, you know.
All right. Well, I know you've got people to see and places to be. So quick before I let you go, if my listeners are now hopelessly addicted to your wit, where can they find some more of it?
Oh, just go to postrapturelooting.net. That's give you links to our podcast and our crazy wit and zaniness. So, and baby recipes, of course.
Oh, of course, of course.
All of the American Atheist baby recipes will be available on our website. And yeah, so.
Just another way your website one-ups mine, man. Excellent. Well, thanks for joining me this morning, man.
Okay, hey, thanks for having me on. And keep up the great work. I love your podcast, and everyone needs to leave you a good review.
Thank you, thank you. And the same to you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
There was one email I wanted to respond to before we close things out for the night, but first a quick correction. You'll recall that last week Heath and I discussed a nincompoop that wrote an article about how Stephen Hawking proved the Bible correct by referring to dust. Anyway, I identified the numbskull as Paul Hitchens. His name is actually Paul Hutchins. So I wanted to apologize not to the Christian Dingleberry, but rather to the name Hitchens. So Hitchens, sorry about that. I owe you more respect. Chris would be rolling over in his grave, except he's dead, and dead people don't roll over. Okay, so the email comes to us from Renee in Clemsdale, and I'm not sure what state or country Clemsdale is in. But Renee was very polite in his or her full condemnation of everything we've ever done on the show, and in a roundabout way, everything I've ever done in my life. But I did want to tell Renee that I did love the email, especially the contradictory notion of condemning me to hell in one paragraph and then hoping I have a lovely day in the next. So sorry to end on such an insulting note, but that does it for our show this week. We'll be back in 168 hours when we'll crack open our Bibles and tackle Genesis and the Holy Babel. If you can't get enough of us, be sure to check out our erratically published blog and follow us on Twitter. I wanted to throw a big thanks to Carl for joining me early on a Sunday morning for that interview. He had to miss church and everything, so I want to thank him for making the sacrifice. If you haven't checked out his show, be sure to do that. It's a lot of fun. Once again, it's the Post-Rapture Looting Podcast, and we'll have links to it on the show notes for the episode. I wanted to thank the person who gave us our first donation. Haven't figured out how to check out to find out who you are so I can thank you by name, but thanks anyway. Really means a lot to us. If you'd like to join this exclusive group of one person, you can donate to the show as well. You'll find the link on the right side of the page at scathingatheist.com. If you want to help us but you don't want to part with any of your hard-earned cash, you can always swing by iTunes and give us an awesome review. We really appreciate everybody who does that, and we love them more than the other audience members, except the ones who give cash, who we love the most. Of course, a huge thanks to Heath for everything he does to make the wheels of this podcast turn, and a big thanks to everybody who decided to give us 30 minutes of their lives. We'll be hard at work earning 30 minutes next time. Until then, check out the backlog and do it on Stitcher, because seriously, our Stitcher rank sucks balls. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission. And
else I cut out is the, you know, people do that. You ask them a question, and they'll go, well, that annoys the crap out of me. I always cut that out of the show.
Yeah, it sounds like the fucking Penn State shower room in there with the rhythmic slapping.
Oh, God,
Bob Costas. This guy knows what I'm talking about. He knows.